Why don't we pray and then we will open our Bibles and get to work. God, we come to you and we would ask that you would help us hear your voice in your word. God, I pray that you would help me explain well, and that you would open up our hearts, that we would be drawn to you, that we would become more like you, and that what we see today, God, would be something that you would show us how to take it with us, and that this week would be different because we listen to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are going through in the book of Matthew. There's a little set of teachings that Jesus did, a bunch of different phrases, almost like proverbs. They all start out with the word blessed is, or happy or fortunate. Blessed is the person who, and then it describes something. And each one, as we've looked at it, we've seen that they've kind of been counterintuitive. What Jesus says is a happy person is not something we would necessarily say, well, that would be a happy person. I see how he says that. It's a little counterintuitive, but they answer the question together, how can I know that I'm progressing? How can I get closer to God? How can I take steps in this journey of here's where I am, here's where God is, and I want to be closer to him, and throughout my life, as I get closer, how can I get ever more closer? Well, this tells us, Jesus lays out before us, it's not a random series of a collection of sayings that's just thrown together, but rather it lays out the way that the gospel, the good news of life in Christ, how that works in our hearts, and what the effect is on us and in us as God draws us to himself. So Jesus is taking us through this sequence, and what we've seen is that, well, it starts out by happy are those who can look inside and see their wickedness. Happy are those who see that they're poor in spirit, that they have nothing to offer to God, and not just that I was bad, but I am bad. I am not the person I should be. And then happy are those who grieve for their wickedness. And happy are those that react to seeing their own wickedness and rebellion against God by not saying, well, that's just the way I am, but rather, that's not the way I should be. And by stepping down off the throne of their life and submitting to God, and then as they submit to him, happy are those who desire God, who want to be close to him and want to know him and be like him. And out of that, happy are those who treat others better than they deserve to be treated. And what we saw last time, not last week, was Easter, but the week before, happy are those who are pure in Christ. And that's a lot to cover, and we're not going to go back and talk about all those in depth, but if you, just as a reminder, this is kind of a series, although today's teaching will stand on its own, but it makes more sense in the context of all the rest of them. So if you missed some of the first ones, you can go to, I think it's iwantpeacewithgod.com, and what'll come up will be all Spanish, so just word of warning, but there will be a word that says English, and that if you're an English speaker, that word will jump out at you. So go there, click on the word that says English, and then you'll be able to hear the past messages from this series. So the one we're going to look at today, the seventh one, we're nearing the end of this series. The seventh one is actually, it's what I would call, it's an activity. So it's something that we do, and it's something we do to others, and it's an external activity. And I would say that it is probably the principal activity of a Christ follower. Why would I say that? Well, primarily because it's the only activity that Jesus mentions in this list, in this whole list of things that we are to be and that we are to become, and internal things that we're to do. This is the only one that's an external activity. This is the only one that's something that you do on the outside to and with other people. What is it? Look at Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So happy are those who make peace. Happy are those who make peace between other people and between people and God. And blessed are those who bring peace into the world. How do we bring peace into the world? Well, there's probably, I thought of three situations. Maybe you could think of another one, so that's great. Apply that to your life. I thought of three. One was between me and other people. You can bring peace between yourself and other people, because we're not always at peace with everybody, no matter how much we would like to think we are. Blessed are those who bring peace between themselves and others. Blessed are those who bring peace between other people, because other people in our lives are not always at peace with each other, and we suffer because of that. And then blessed are those who bring peace between people and God. Blessed are those who bring peace between themselves and others, and others, and between others and God. Blessed are those who bring peace to the lives of others, for they will be called children or sons of God. See, Jesus gives us the reason, the motivation. Why would I do this? Why would I dedicate myself to being a peacemaker, to bringing peace to the lives of other people? Why would I give myself to that? Well, he gives us a reason. The reason, aside from the blessed part, happy, you'll be happy if you do it, so your happiness depends on you being a peacemaker, but it's more than that. You'll be called a child of God. Why? What is he saying with that? What's the reason? What's the motivation? How is that supposed to motivate us? Well, Jesus is, he's making reference to the gospel. He's doing what Paul does, I think, in most of Paul's letters. When Paul finishes his letters by saying, here is how you should live, so look at like Ephesians, for example, not right now, you can look at it later. See if this isn't there. Most of Ephesians, the first part, until about chapter 4, middle of chapter 4, is here's what God has done for you, what you've received from God. Here's God's grace. Here's how God has just radically changed you and poured himself out for you. And then the last almost half of the book is, now here is how you should live as a child of God. It's a similar pattern here. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers who dedicate themselves to making peace, for they will be called children of God. He's saying that this is the reason, this is why you would make peace. Why? Well, because you will be called a child of God. Why would you be called a child of God? Because God is a God who reconciles and restores. God is a God who makes peace between himself and us. He's a God who comes into our world and makes peace with us. Look over at Romans chapter 5. We're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to skip down a little bit. But this is just a description of how God brings peace to our world between us and him. He says in verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, so made righteous or made perfect in God's eyes by our trust in Jesus. Look what it says. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. God gives us peace. He makes peace between himself and us. When Jesus says, blessed are the peacemaker, he's not asking us to do something new or to do something unique to us. Rather, he's asking us to imitate the one who is the peacemaker. It's God. Look at verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might and dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, you can read in rebellion against God, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if we, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. He starts off in verse 1 by saying, peace. We've been given peace with God. We have peace with God. And then he ends in verse 10 and 11 by saying, reconciled, reconciliation. We're reconciled to God. Why do we need peace with God? Why do we need to be reconciled to God? It's all the pieces are embedded in what we just read. It's because we've rebelled against God. We were his enemies. Why were we his enemies? Well, because we were created in God's image to be like him, to give him glory, to reflect what he is like and who he is. God's intention when he made you and I in his image and when he made everyone was that there would be millions of little reflections of him all over the earth, and that everyone, both spiritual creatures and in here on the earth, would see what God is like by looking at us. But that's not what we want to do. That's not what we do. I want to be a reflection of me. And so I make my own decisions, and I become my own sovereign, my own boss, the God of my own world, and I rebel against God, which is why Paul says we're enemies of God. And since I've rebelled against the King of the universe who made me, and I've had the audacity to say, thank you for your purpose in making me, but I have my own purpose in my life. I want to seek my own happiness, my own way. Then I am now his enemy, and I deserve his wrath. But God sent his Son, Jesus, to live a perfect life, a life in complete submission to the Father, and then to die and be slaughtered on a cross, brutally murdered, innocently, and then to rise in power through the power of the Spirit from the dead. And through him, when I enter into Jesus, when I make a decision to accept him as Savior and Lord by repenting and being baptized, by becoming God's child, in that moment, I receive peace with God. How? Well, Jesus' perfect life submitted to the Father is placed over my imperfect life, my rebellious life, and God sees me as perfect, and so I'm at peace with God, and Jesus' death absorbs the Father's wrath in my place, so that now I'm not under the Father's wrath anymore, but rather I am his dearly beloved child. And then Jesus rising from the dead gives me the eternal promise of my own resurrection from the dead and my eternity with the Father as his child. I am brought into peace with God through Jesus, and I'm transformed. And so when I become a peacemaker, I'm called God's child. Why? Because I've been given peace from the Father. And God's children are to make peace between other people. They're to make peace as well. They're to bring peace into the world. They're to be peacemakers because their father is a peacemaker. Very similar to in the olden days when whatever your father was, that would be the profession that you would have. Was your father a blacksmith or a dentist? Thank goodness that has changed, because I could not live with my hands in people's mouths all day. My dad's a dentist. It grosses me out, kind of OCD with the whole germ thing. But that's how it's supposed to be between us and God. God is a peacemaker. We're his children. We're to be peacemakers. That's how it's supposed to work. That's what Jesus is saying. And we're recognized as God's children when we do what our Father does. So we've received peace from him. We're supposed to give peace to other people. God makes peace with us. We're supposed to give from the same peace that we've received. And when we do that, we're called children of God, because God made peace with us, and we bring the Father's peace to all the world around us. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be peacemakers, like our Father is a peacemaker. And it doesn't end with us, because implicit in what Jesus is saying, they'll be called children of God. Isn't he saying that God will receive glory through us, that we will be reflecting what God is like, and it'll be obvious you're a child of God, you're a peacemaker, you're acting like your father, and who looks good in that moment? When my sons imitate me, I feel really good. That's my own desire, to be my own little God and to have, you know, little image bearers, right? But I feel really good. That's what God wants from his children. We reflect who our Father is, and he receives glory. So when we see the peace that we have with God in Christ, which is why Jesus said they will be called sons of God, that's supposed to inspire us to be people who bring peace into the world. So how do we do that? It's a practical thing. We have to ask the question, how do we bring peace into the world? Let's talk about some of the nitty-gritty details. Look at Matthew 5, verse 9 again. Blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. It's an active thing. When you make bread or a house or anything you make, right, it's an active process. It's not a passive thing, unless you're waiting for the yeast to make the bread dough rise. But then you have to knead it, and that's a very active thing with the bread. I said there were going to be some food. It's the smells. When you make something, it's an active thing. So if we're peacemakers, if we're to make peace in the world around us, that's something we have to do. We have to proactively do it. So how do we make peace? Well, we'll start out by not looking for conflict, by not engaging in conflict. We make peace by not doing the opposite, by not getting involved in needless conflicts. It's avoiding unnecessary conflict. And yes, I know that some conflict is necessary. Sometimes you have to say no. You can't treat that person that way. You can't, you have to stand up for the weak. We have to fight for justice. We have to defend the truth. And sometimes we have to confront other people. I understand there's some conflict is necessary. But most of the conflict that I get involved in, maybe you're the same way, maybe not, is not necessary conflict. If you're married, think about your marriage. Do most of the fights that have to happen really have to happen? I know. You don't want to say anything because maybe you're sitting next to your spouse, but you don't want to. It's true, right? Don't have to happen. Most of the conflict in our lives, we could say beforehand, will this really matter? Not really. Okay, we should avoid that. That's one way to be a peacemaker. It's not getting in conflict when it's not necessary. Sometimes it's letting the offense go by, letting yourself be treated poorly, letting yourself be offended, letting yourself be, they don't invite you, they don't include you, that person looks at you funny every time you walk by. Sometimes we suffer personal loss, or we should, I don't do this very well, but we should be willing to suffer personal loss and be made fun of, whatever, and not enter into conflict. We should avoid conflict. And it's not just avoiding conflict, but it's not stirring the pot when there's conflict going on. As fun as that is, right? As fun as it is to have, you know, the little, hey, she said and he said, and you can be involved in it and saying things and repeating, you know, what they said about you because you know how that's going to make them feel. And then you kind of get off scot-free because you're not the one who said it. You just told them. And then you see their reaction and you see the drama that unfolds afterwards. It's staying out of that. It's avoiding conflict. That's what it means to be a peacemaker. It's not undoing peace. Okay, but that's the negative side. Being a peacemaker is not undoing peace, but how do we make peace? There's the three situations that I mentioned earlier that in which we make peace. There's peace between me and someone else. There's peace that I can make between two other people, and there's peace that I can help someone encounter with God. So how do we, practically speaking, bring peace into those three different situations? Start with the first one, peace between you and somebody else. When do you need peace between you and somebody else? It's when there's a problem with you and somebody else. And I know, we always say, I don't have a problem with them. I know what they did and everything. I don't have a problem. I don't talk to them. I don't like them. I mean, I love them, but I don't like them. I know I'm supposed to love everybody, so I love them. I don't like them. I kind of avoid them. I don't have a problem with them. No. Do they have a problem with me? They can talk to me if they have a problem with me. Hey, I know we say we don't have a problem with people, but there are people that have offended us, right? And we're not at peace with them in our hearts. If we were honest, and it's Sunday, we're in church, so we kind of have to be, right? So I'm not happy with that person. I don't feel peace with them. Or maybe we've offended them, and we want to say, I was justified in what I said and how I said it, and we can, if they really have a problem with me, they can come and talk to me, but we know that there's something there. Can you think of somebody like that in your life right now that you're not at peace with? You've offended them, they've offended you, you kind of avoid them. Okay, that's kind of a bummer to think about that, but just think about that person for a moment. And it's easier than making peace, it's easier to just kind of hold on to that feeling, to hold on to them, not forgiving, kind of a little bit of bitterness, maybe talk about them. I can kind of feel bad about them. It's you get a kind of painful pleasure from feeling bad about someone, from having that problem. It's much easier than fixing it. But we're called to be peacemakers. So when we have a problem, I keep pointing at Ben. I think it's because there's not a problem there. So when we have a problem, we're supposed to be like Christ. What did Christ do? He took the initiative and he came to those who were his enemies and he gave them grace. He gave to them. So we're called to be like Jesus and make peace between us and the people in our lives where there isn't peace, who there isn't peace with. How do we do that? We talk. We have to talk. Not just to them. We have to talk to God about them. We have to pray. We have to say, God, would you change their heart? And God, would you change my heart? Would you make me want to have peace with that person? Would you make me want to do what I have to do? And then we have to talk with the person. And as we talk, we have to talk about what happened, and we have to forgive, and we have to repent, and we have to say, how did I offend you, and here's how you offended me, and then we have to forget, and then we have to love that person. We have to actively love. This isn't the kind of distant love where, I love you, but you know, we don't talk, and I've never like showing you that this is helping and blessing, and it's the treating people better than they deserve that we saw a few weeks ago. It's giving to that person. It's proactively being a friend to that person, opening up time in your life for that person. It's making peace with that person. So who do you need to make peace with today? Second scenario, it's making peace between other people that are part of your life. This is when there's people that, you know, they don't really talk, and if you're friends with both of them, you know that you shouldn't talk about this one to that one, and you really shouldn't invite them both to the same, you know, party, maybe, well, two birthdays, or I don't know how we'll do it, but it can't be at the same place at the same time. I'm friends with them, but they really don't know I'm friends with them because, you know, they talk to me about them, and you know that there's not peace there, and it's kind of tense. Is there anybody in your life like that you can think of that aren't at peace with each other? And see, this one, the problem is that we kind of like that whole, we like the drama that goes along with conflict, especially conflict that we're not a part of, because it's like a free show. It's like a dinner theater. You get to participate in it, but you don't have any consequences of it, because I get to go to you and talk about you, and then I get to go to you and talk about you, and I get to hear how upset you are with him, and then you know what he said about you, and it's just and I'm in the middle of it, but I don't have any of the consequences of it. It's kind of a fun place to be. It's perversely pleasurable, and we even actually become better friends through the process, and maybe we become better friends, and we become better friends through the process. It's a good thing, but we're called to be like God. Have you seen God restore relationship? Has God restored a relationship that you're in with someone else where you didn't think that you were ever going to really like that person anymore, or talk, and now you do, and you love them. They're important to you. What did God do? He brought you together. He got into your world. Maybe he put someone there, and he made you talk, and he reconciled you. That's what we're called to do. When there's people in our lives who don't get along, we're called to be peacemakers. So we should pray for them. We should ask God, because you can't change their heart, no matter how much you talk and try, and you can't change their heart. Maybe you've tried, and you know you can't. Only God can. So you should be a peacemaker by praying for them. And then you should be a peacemaker by not stirring the pot, not taking gossip and from one side to the other. Be a peacemaker by getting involved and risking your friendship with that person. Because you know that if you tell them what they need to hear, that maybe both of them aren't going to like you at the end of it. But that's the price of being a peacemaker sometimes. And then you help them come to peace when you have the opportunity to bring them together, or maybe you make the opportunity, but you be a peacemaker by guiding them towards resolution, by saying, let's talk, you need to talk, this isn't right, by confronting, this isn't right. You say that you're brothers, you say you're going to be in heaven together, but you know you can't share this little piece of earth. This is not right. This is not the Father's love. By confronting, by exhorting, by pleading sometimes, and by walking with them in the process as they find peace. So, anybody in your life like this right now, maybe this is for the future for you, or maybe right now there's some people and you're like, yeah, I should be a peacemaker between them. Last scenario, being a peacemaker between other people and God. And this is the biggest one. This is the most important one. This is the eternal one, because we've all rebelled against God. And you and I have people in our lives who we love, who are important to us, who we're at peace with, but they're not at peace with our Father. In fact, our Father would say, they're my enemy. They will be under my wrath. They've rebelled, and they're living right now in rebellion against me. Even if they're a good person, they're living in rebellion against me. That's not right. We're commanded. It's the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. It's Jesus' last commandment to his followers. We're called to bring the peace of God to those people's lives, to guide them into peace with God. But the problem is that I don't know you, I'm fearful. The thought of, there's some people in my life as I was preparing this, I was like, yeah, I need to talk to them. It's like, can't I just kind of keep being their friends and maybe God will magically do something? I need to talk to, there's one guy in particular, I need to talk to him. I need to say, hey, we need to study. Could we, I'm fearful of doing that. He's probably going to say no. I mean, hopefully God will work on him, but, you know, I just know. I'm fearful of that. I don't want the inconvenience. And then if he says yes to studying, that means they're going to have to, like, every week I'm going to have to get together with him, and that's like an inconvenience, and I don't particularly want that. And when I think about all that, I'm not thinking about his real spiritual need. He's separated from the Father. He's not living in submission to God. He needs me to be like other people were to me. What did God do with you? If you are at peace with God, or if God's drawing you to himself, isn't it true that he put people in your life to be peacemakers, to help you know him, to bring you to himself? God asks us to be that person in other people's lives as well. So how do we make peace between people and God? How do we work with Jesus and do that? How do we be peacemakers? We pray for, again, they all start with praying. We pray for that person all the time, because you can't change someone's heart, but God can. So we beg that he would change their heart. We ask him to, and then we engage in just friendship with that person, and then we look for opportunities to study. We ask them to study, and if they say yes, then we go through with the study, and we, in love and in friendship, we confront them with their spiritual reality. We guide them step by step so that they learn how to read the Bible, and they learn about the gospel, and they come and make their decision to follow Jesus, and we guide them after that. We're willing to put our friendship at risk by asking the question, what's keeping you from making your decision to follow Jesus? Where are you at? We talk about that. We be peacemakers. So who in your life would you say, I need to guide that person to peace with God? Who's a person in your life that is far from God right now? If blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God, then this is something that we shouldn't just know and learn. It's something we should go and do. So because God gives us his peace and he calls us to be peacemakers, our lives should be different this week because we looked at this, because we heard this. The way I live this week should be different. I should be more of a peacemaker this week than I was last week. That's what we're called to do. So how can you do this week? Not how you can you be a peacemaker in general throughout the rest of your life. This week, how can you be a peacemaker? How can you, what do you need to do? Maybe for you, you need to enter into peace with God. You need to receive peace from the Father, because you heard from the very beginning, you said, I've never made that decision. I've never accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. I've never repented and been baptized. I've never made the decision to be God's child. And when you do, you will be forgiven of your sins, and God will put his Spirit in you, and you will be God's child. You will be his loved child. You will have peace with the Father. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone. You can be guided through it. You can make it immediately. The water is kept at a comfortable, well, not always comfortable, pretty comfortable most of the time, temperature. Maybe for you, as we were talking about how to be a peacemaker, you thought of someone that you're not at peace with, and that's just been in your mind the whole time, and you've kind of just zoned out for the rest of it. That maybe is the Holy Spirit who is impressing on you that you need to go and make peace with that person this week, this afternoon. You need to call them. Maybe for you, what's stuck in your mind is there's some people in your life that are not at peace with each other, and all you can think about after we start talking about that was those people. Well, again, the Holy Spirit may be guiding you to be God's peacemaker and help those people be reconciled to each other. Pick up the phone, talk to them, do it this week, start the process. And maybe for you, there's somebody in your mind who's not a Christian, who's far from God, and you need to talk to them. You need to, this week, help them, you need to guide them to become God's child. How are you this week? How will you be a peacemaker? And if you say, I don't know, nothing really jumped out at me, pray about it. Ask God. His Spirit will guide you, and then do what he says. Why don't we stand, we'll pray, and then we'll sing together. God, we come to you right now and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you love us. Thank you because you are the peacemaker and you make peace with us. That is so incredible. And God, we pray that the more that we realize the peace that you offer us and make with us and give us, that the more that we realize that and are just blown away by it, that you would make us into peacemakers as well, that we would be people who would help people be at peace with each other and with you. And God, I pray that you would give each of us, through your Spirit, a practical assignment, something to do this week, so that we can be doers of your word and put this into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.